Welcome to the Malvern Minute, where we highlight the treatment at Malvern and provide insight for professionals in the field. I'm your host, Amber Roadcap, and today we have our Director of Family Services, Nicole Mountney, with us. Nicole, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to talk with you today. How I generally like to start off is just asking a little bit about your background, what brought you to Malvern, and just a little bit about who you are.
Sure, thank you. I started to study psychology in Rhode Island at Providence College and came over to Philadelphia and studied marriage and family therapy at Drexel. At that time, I had experiences with outpatient and residential treatment, private practice, and my most recent experience has been as the clinical director for the last 10 years with a family-based organization, which is Community Mental Health.
Well, we're so glad to have you here as part of our team. And talking a little bit about family therapy, what is the importance of family in the process of early recovery?
That is a fantastic question. It's interesting because if you look at the definition of recovery, it captures four major components of an individual. It is the health of the individual, how they are living physically and emotionally in healthy ways. It's the home, and if we think about home, we can think of it in a lot of ways. It's our family, our children, our parents, but that it's a safe and stable living environment is a very important component. And purpose for the individual. What brings them purpose in life? What is their why for wanting to start their journey of recovery? It could be jobs, it could be family, it could be caregiving, down to their creative interests and hobbies. So all of those three things are really important. And then it kind of is then encaptured with community as the fourth component to recovery. And that's the relationships that we build, the natural ones, the non-professional therapists or whatnot, but the ones that will be in your life forever and can help you sustain your well-being.
So looking at the whole person and really meeting them where they are.
Right.
I really like those components of it. I've never heard it kind of put that way before. Mm-hmm. So I like that a lot.
Yeah. So and we also see how the family and, you know, three or all of the components are weaved into that. So it really is remarkable how much family is involved with the individual recovery process.
Touching base a little bit about family and recovery and how important family is in the process of recovery, often family can be a very tangled web.
Yes.
And also a large component in addiction and active addiction. Touch base a little bit on that. I know it can be trauma, it can be aspects of how our family upbringing, our family environment, our home environment, all of the things that can lead us towards recovery are sometimes some of the things that lead us to addiction. Talk with me a little bit about that and how to work with both sides of that coin.
Try to find a way to compartmentalize it, right? Mm-hmm. As a behavioral health provider, behavioral health captures all of our emotional, psychological well-being, inclusive of substance use or substance abuse. And so when we provide care to the individuals at Malvern, we have to capture the fact that it's not just sobriety. Actually, a lot of people say in our field that recovery is not sobriety, but it's connection. And if that doesn't highlight the family, right, then I don't know what does, because what we know about substance abuse, behavioral health, mental health, is that when substances are introduced to the family system, it creates a lot of isolation and ruptures. And with that, we then lose the connection. If we lose the connection, we have isolated individuals, isolated loved ones that are really going to struggle. And so being able to be very attuned to those needed connections, community, groups, friends, family, even friends and family that some are very, how do you say it, hopeless about, you know, repairing those relationships. They are very much involved in your recovery still. And so I just think that the connection piece and how we approach behavioral health is really where we're going to thrive and help people succeed.
A lot of the time we're talking about family therapy, trauma comes up. And the experiences that we have in our upbringing. And I know here at Malvern, we're doing a lot to not only expand our family therapy services, but also our trauma-informed care.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean when we talk about trauma-informed care?
Right. Trauma is a big word, right? Trauma-informed care is basically the approach of how an organization like Malvern is vigilant in recognizing and addressing how tragedy, trauma, and hardship has affected the family as a whole. All families experience hardship, tragedy, loss, whether it's childhood abuse, whether it's socioeconomic stressors. All of those things contribute to why people turn away from families and connections and create a relationship with substances. And so when we look at a trauma-informed care, it is a systems lens, it's a systems approach where we as a team network around the individual, network around the family, and create a village for them that's safe. Because the definition of trauma is having a skewed view of emotional and physical safety. So if we have a trauma-informed care at Malvern, then we are vigilant every single day we go to work about how we are creating the emotional safety, psychological safety for the individuals in our care.
However, as you said, trauma is a very big word. And when you only have folks in treatment for 28 days, fingers crossed, 28 days, what can we do in a 28-day program with family therapy? What does that model look like? What's the goal?
Right.
In that short time frame.
Well, not only is trauma a big word, but the concept of participating in family therapy, and I'm doing air quotes on an audio recording, but family therapy can be a pretty scary concept as well. And so what we do know, and to highlight what I said before, is that substance abuse, mental health issues, and relationship ruptures breed isolation. And for these vulnerable individuals to take a risk and get help and say, please help walk me through this journey that I'm about to start in the first 28 days, it takes courage. And when they're walking through our doors, we need to acknowledge as a community that these people are experiencing anxiety, ambivalence, and a lot of them have so much uncertainty that this is at the root of it is a fear response. And if we're able to meet people where they're at in this fear response of uncertainty, then we're able to better engage them and better understand them as individuals and create a person-centered treatment plan. I don't know if that answered your question.
It does. I just picture someone coming in off the streets. They're going through detox. They're starting to have withdrawal symptoms. There's still so much stigma around addiction. And sometimes our families, you know, contribute to that stigma and our feelings of self-worth and where we are at. How do we engage the patient to have the desire or even to acknowledge the need for family inclusion? I'm hearing you say a lot of it about planting that seed is the goal.
Right.
But how do we even kind of start that from the gate to say, hey, how do you present that?
Right. We start with the root, and at the root of substance abuse and trauma is shame, guilt, and those two feelings in itself require someone to be really vulnerable. So if someone is coming into our door saying, I need help, that's vulnerable in itself. It comes down to how we present our paperwork, you know, admissions paperwork, whatever it is, and how scary it could be to say, here, please sign this consent to do family therapy or trauma work. That just can ignite or activate someone more. And that's scary. So we there's a much different way to approach individuals in a trauma-informed way. And that's saying, welcome to Malvern. What we know about addiction and substance use is that it creates a lot of blame and shame in families. When you're feeling physically better, when you're feeling a little bit more rested, who do you think we could reach out to that might be the first step to repair some of these ruptures, to break these patterns of shame and blame in the family dynamics, and really approach it as a baby step. Because if you think we're going to change family dynamics in 28 days, Amber, we're kidding ourselves. Family work and shifting family patterns and relationships takes a long time. And it takes a lot of participation with everybody involved.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing you say is planting the seed and even maybe just presenting the idea that the opportunity for repair exists.
It does. It does. And that has been one thing that was really shocking to me coming to Malvern, is I didn't realize how hopeless people were about making those repairs. And at the end of the day, as much harm or words have been exchanged, families love each other. They're very resilient. If we're able to set a frame for the individuals coming into our care that this is hopeful and that these repairs can be done through community supports and through family therapy and family work, then, and I think that is the probably the primary goal for when we engage them.
What I'm also hearing is that the importance of aftercare coordination with mm-hmm. community supports.
Yes.
I know here at Malvern, we do have our recovery-oriented community meetings or the ROC program for families specifically, but we also serve a very wide demographic of people that come from all areas right. of the state. So really creating those community partnerships, I'm hearing, is important too. Mm-hmm. If we're going to plant the seed, let's kind of send you out with a really great partnership in the community that you are living in to continue that work.
Yes. And make it individualized and person-centered so that it's not a cookie cutter aftercare plan for everyone that comes into our care. You know, someone from Lancaster or Montgomery have completely different scenarios, different communities, different cultural values. And so we have to, one, so you're asking about the continuity of care, but also this, how do we capture this in 28 days? The answer is we set the frame in 28 days. We identify the patterns where that individual was distressed and help them to understand in that moment, instead of turning to family and community, you turned away and created a relationship with drugs and alcohol. Or you had an escalated episode of depression, something in regards to mental health. And if this is the pattern that happens, to anticipate that pattern to happen when you walk out of our doors, and that when that moment happens, how they can do self-talk and say, this is my opportunity. The pattern is going to happen. It's happening now. And I have the opportunity to turn towards people and my human connections other than a relationship with drugs and alcohol. And if they're able to see that as a hopeful long-term recovery process, again, something that doesn't happen in 28 days, doesn't happen once IOP has been completed, but it's finding all of the little moments in their day that they're able to say, I'm going to turn towards connection, and I'm going to connect with the people that care about me, and I'm going to be my authentic self, is really the vision that we want to help provide individuals.
So really reframing instead of kind of moving towards that fear and shame pattern of reframing our thought patterns towards something positive. Mm-hmm. And I like that you said the little things, because often every day that is where, as we recover and build our resiliency, it is in the everyday little things as we move forward. You had said something when we were talking and preparing for this interview about granting grace. And I think right now more than ever, that's so important. How do you feel our individuals or even all of us can do that on a day-to-day basis for ourselves and for one another?
For all of us. Yes. And I want to include not just the individuals in our care, but all of us from, our team, that all of us that we work together, is that granting grace is something that will combat shame and guilt. Shame and guilt is very tightly woven with family connections and breeds, again, isolation. If we don't identify the shame and guilt that comes along with feeling stress, I mean, look at COVID. How many parents right now are under the daily stress that we're not doing enough for the kids, or we're not making the right decision about hybrid, or this, that, or the other. There's just so much going on for everyone, not just the individuals in our care, to realize that it takes us being vulnerable enough to recognize the shame, recognize the guilt, and then grant ourselves grace and compassion, grant each other grace and compassion, and especially provide the compassion, dignity, and respect to the individuals in our care who are at their most vulnerable spots in their lives. So it's like a three-pronged systemic approach of grace. And if anyone, any of my colleagues or family that know me know, I'm a huge fan of Dr. Brené Brown. And she studies, yes, shame and guilt and vulnerability. And how to combat that is really through compassion and grace. And it's fascinating because vulnerability, again, is scary.
It's scary, but allowing it and then being able to reframe it to something positive and saying, okay, this happened, however.
And I
love that. I'm also a fan of Brené Brown. And I think right now more than ever, as, again, people in our care, teaching them that process.
So, sure.
All right, today wasn't a great day. And it really comes back to, I think, the one thing I've been talking with people in granting grace is also just that one day at a time.
Yep.
Folks in recovery have had it right. And this time, it's just one day at a time.
Yes.
And we are all doing our best each day. So as we're building our team here at Malvern, and as we're talking about family therapy and building this program, as you and your colleagues work on that, what is your overall dream and goal for that here at Malvern?
My overall dream is, how can we weave in all of the values that Malvern already incorporates? Dignity, respect, compassionate care. And how do we expand and enhance that through a continuum of care for families? Because the research shows is that people that can maintain long-term sobriety or maintain mental health symptoms long-term that are manageable, they are surrounded by a village of people. Again, recovery isn't sobriety. It's not A plus B equals C sobriety. It really is, the answer is connection. So how do we continue to attune to connection? And if we're able to have, and again, you asked about my dream, but if we were able to have a continuum of care from the 28-day program to the intensive outpatient to outpatient telehealth or through the ROC program, that it is so fully developed that the family is so essential to recovery that it's not even, you know, something that's missed. And it's just part of the individual's care all the time. And that families can be provided with their own individual work, that they don't have to be the primary individual that came in to intensive inpatient. You know, they, our family members and our community members, if we're able to break the stigma of mental health and break some of the stigma of substance abuse being a moral failure, that's when we're going to see us come together. If we could create a continuum of programs, again, you said big picture, but my dream is if we could have a continuum of programs that really engage the family at every single step.
Well, I do know that you and your team are really working hard to do that.
Yes.
And we have big things coming in the future.
Yes, we do.
As we move forward. So it'll be very exciting to see where those programs are in the next, you know, 6 months to a year. I'm really looking forward to it. And I just really appreciate you taking some time to talk. Again, it really is shifting how we look at things on a daily basis,
sure.
Whether we are the patient coming in and being vulnerable and asking for help, or if we are the folks trying to provide the best treatment possible.
And through trauma-informed care, just to kind of close on that concept, the trouble we get, or providers in general can get into, is when there's this unspoken message that the professionals, air quotes, are going to fix our individual family members, when that's genuinely not what research is showing. It's if we're able to walk this journey together, side by side, and recruit the village and the person-centered village, because everyone's is going to be different,
mm-hmm.
to walk, continue to walk together as they walk out our doors is really the ideal vision, I guess.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. And I think we're going to get there.
Yes.
At the same time. Yeah. So Nicole, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate all that you're doing. And everyone else, thank you for listening to this episode of The Mallory Minute.
Yeah, grateful to be here. Thank you.